Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I believe you will see in a moment how this Bible study and the morning message go hand in hand. I prepared the morning message first, and then I looked at the next verse in Ephesians, which is generally where we've been for the Bible study. And I was amazed how they lined up together. So let's read verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is something that I do not like to talk about. This is something that is fearful to me. It's very fearful. I do not like devoting any time to the thought of the adversary or his rulers of the darkness of this world. And I would strongly encourage all of us not to do so. Do not do so. Do not study him. Do not look into the things of him. And that's what this is telling us. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying to us and warning us of here. Our Lord has given us a few facts concerning our adversary in this word. He has recorded a few things in this word so that we can have some comfort and so that we can glorify our God concerning him. But as we look at these things, we come to these places where our Lord has recorded these things concerning him. As we look at the things that are written in the Word, we draw nigh to Christ. We draw nigh to him. I've read these, and this is the thought that's been going through my mind and heart. Lord, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer to you. Pull me close. Pull me so close at all times, especially when we're on a subject like this. And that's the exhortation he's giving. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Draw nigh to Christ. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. Romans 13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Christ. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is a vital exhortation to us. But before we get into it, I want to make this very clear. This is a trivial illustration, a very, very trivial illustration. But I believe it'll make it very clear. I believe it'll make the point very clear. A lot of superhero movies have been made over the years. A lot of superhero movies. And in every one of them, the superhero has a nemesis. Another super being with rivaling powers. And this evil, wicked super being wars against the superhero. So much so that at some point the question is, will the superhero even win the battle? That is not the case here. That is not at all the case here. Our adversary is no rival for Christ our God. He is no match One little word from Christ our God shall fell him like a tree. That's what Martin Luther said in his song, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." It says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. That's the purpose of this exhortation. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath is His name. From age to age, the same, and He must win the battle. There is no optional outcome. Men stand up in pulpits and they make statements like this. The Lord is trying to work good in your life if the devil would just stop messing it up. Mm-mm. No way. That's the message of the adversary. That's the adversary's message. That's the work of his message. Trying to dethrone God. That is not a possibility. It's not a possibility. Turn with me over to Job chapter 1. Job 1, verse 6, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." The adversary has to present himself before the Lord our God, and he has to give an account of his matters. Now, our God already knows his matters. He knows all things. But in the adversary having to present himself and having to explain himself, he is constantly reminded that the Lord knows all of his matters. And he has to answer to our God. He's constantly reminded of that. He was created by God. He is God's created being, and he was created for a purpose. And that purpose was this. God said to him concerning the woman's seed, which is Christ. God said to him, "You are going to bruise his heel on the cross. That's the reason why I created you." He could not do it until he had permission to do it. He couldn't do it until he was allowed at God's appointed time to do it. But God told him from the beginning, "You are going to bruise his heel, and he is going to crush your head. That's the reason I made you. I raised you up that I might show my power in you." Now hold your place right here in Job and go to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 53. It says, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Our Lord said, this is the moment that I'm allowing him to bruise my heel on the cross. Now turn over to John 12. Verse 31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." And that's referring to the adversary, the little g god of this earth, the prince of this world. Right now, he's going to be cast out. Verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all unto me." Men is in italics. I'll draw all unto me, all of my own. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in the very same moment that he bruises my heel, I will crush his head. At that very moment, the very moment that he sees to be his victory, that is the very moment that'll be the final blow of his defeat. So we see that he is just as much in the palm of God's hand as every other created being is. Every other created being in heaven, earth, under the earth, he is a pawn just like everybody else. Now hold your place, keep holding it in Job, and go to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 21, it says, our Lord Jesus Christ, it says, he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He is far above. I mean, far above. This is no close match. Far above. Nothing rivals his principality and his power. Nothing. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, for by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. All things. Verse 17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Everything is in his hands. It was all created by him, and it was created for him. This shows the absolute sovereignty of God. This shows the highness of God. Look at Colossians chapter 2. It says in verse 2. Verse 10. Colossians 2 verse 10. You are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with the Lord Jesus Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And through that cross, through his heel being bruised on that cross, verse 14, he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in, the margin says, himself. In himself. So before we talk about the adversary's dealings with us, this is part one of two parts. Next time we're going to look at part two. But before we even get into his dealings with us, let's put everything in its rightful place first. Let's put all authority where it belongs first. And then, with that being said, let's heed the warning of our God. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, against the deceit, against the trickery the snares of the devil, because a spiritual warfare is taking place. It is taking place. Now go back to Job chapter 1. Job 1, verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? The Lord said, Have you desired to devour my servant Job? And the adversary said, Yes, but it doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do me any good. I can't touch him. You have a hedge about him. You have a hedge about everything that he has. But this is what he went on to say. If you will remove that hedge, he acknowledges it's all in your hands. And if you will remove that hedge and let me touch him, he will curse you to your face. You let me bring him down in sorrow, in trial, and in affliction, and he will deny you. He'll curse you to your face. Now, if we know the story of Job, we know that the Lord did remove the hedge. But we also know that it was for Job's ultimate good. The Lord kept him. He never charged God foolishly. Never. And it was for his ultimate good. Job spent this entire book having conversations with his friends. These friends, they were all sitting around spouting off, saying, well, this is what I think, or that's what I think. And at the end of this book, God dealt with Job, and he spoke to Job in a way that made Job finally say, I think it's time I put my hand over my mouth. I think it's time I just stop talking. I think that's my big problem. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear. And this is a glorious moment. You know, the Lord, people do hear of him by the hearing of the ear. And they even hear some truths by the hearing of the ear. But at some point, God, in his mercy, he said, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. I see you. I see me. Job said, I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. And we also know that God turned his captivity. And God gave him twice what he had before. It was all for his good. But God allowed that to happen to Job. He allowed that horrible, horrible misery to happen to Job because he needed to learn something. He needed to learn something. God did the same thing to Peter. Turn with me over to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, that's Peter, Simon Peter. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And verse 54 tells us that the Lord did allow the adversary to have him. And it tells us how he sifted him. Verse 54, then took our Lord and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. You know, our flesh reads this, and it naturally thinks, you know, Peter did that. We all know Peter did that, but I wouldn't do that. That's exactly what Peter said before he did it. Verse 58, after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I'm not." And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. But do you know what verse 32 says in this chapter? Our Lord said in verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee." He said, "Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, and I'm going to let him sift you. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I'm going to allow this to happen, but I will not let you go. I will not let you go. And after you're converted, after you learn what this is going to teach you, after you're converted to see that you are not all, I am all. After you're converted to see that the strength does not lie in you, the strength lies in me. After that's confirmed in you, I want you to then go and strengthen all of your brethren. I want you to help them come down. You go around and strengthen them. Help them all come down. Bring them down. You just bring them down. Remind them, come on down. Let's all come back down. The way to be strong is to be strong in Christ and weak in self. He said, "Peter, I'm going to allow this to happen to teach you to have no confidence in the flesh. None. And then I want you to teach your brethren that." And that's what Peter did. That's exactly what he did. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter 5, verse 5, he said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." This is how you put on the whole armor of God. "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He said, run to Christ. Run to Christ so you won't have to be devoured. Cast all your care upon him. He said, he will not let you go. He will not. If God teaches us and if he causes us to cast our care upon him, truly. Verse 10 says, "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffer a while, He'll make you perfect, and He'll establish you and strengthen you and settle you. He will not let you go. Just listen to this. This is Romans 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. But this is the warning. This is the exhortation. He said, be sober in that. Be vigilant in the armor of God so that you won't have to be taught these painful lessons. Now that puts the authority where it's due in this situation. That puts all authority where it's due in God's hands. He's in control of every bit of this. That also sets up the importance of heeding the warning. This exhortation is a warning. Run to Christ. Run to Christ. Put on Christ. Be in Christ. Vigilantly, soberly, hide in Christ. The next time we're in Ephesians 6, we're going to look at the armor of God. We just saw the importance of putting on the armor of God. The next time we're going to look at what it is. But let's just close this with a sneak peek. All right, go with me back to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, Christ. That one word answers the whole armor of God, Christ. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, Christ, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, Christ, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, Christ, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, Christ, of peace, Christ, above all, taking the shield of faith, Christ, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, Christ, and the sword of the Spirit, Christ, which is the Word of God, Christ. Christ. Here's the only safe place to be. Here's the warning. Be in the safe place. Here's the only safe place to be. Christ, 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 Christ. We're about to take a break. Throughout that break, I hope this one word is embedded in our brain. Christ, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, keep us right there. All right, you're dismissed.